From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of March 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from right here on campus, will join us to talk about the future price of corn. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, and discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. On this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, it is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. We depend on you each and every day in the same way you depend on us. Coming up on the 12th day of April, be ready for our marathon fundraiser.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, tell me a little bit about what's been happening. I think it's probably quiet in the trade, or at least it seems to be that way, just kind of waiting for some reports due out later in the week. USDA on Friday, of course, will release the quarterly grain stocks report and, more importantly, the acreage numbers.
Oh, you nailed it right there. Extremely, almost scary quiet. Everyone's kind of got their hands in their pocket, waiting to see what the reports show here at the end of the week. You know, short-term news continues to be the same. We have ample supplies of grain around the world. Overall, export news here in the U.S. is kind of at a standstill or slow in pace. We did see a decent export inspections report on shipments. We shipped out 541,000 tons of wheat and 1.556 million metric tons of corn and 555,000 tons of beans, and those were respectable. We're ahead of schedule to meet the USDA goal. These are above last year's pace, so now, from a positive point, we really haven't seen any cancellations develop yet, particularly in the beans, so, you know, somewhat constructive. You know, corn-wise, we're a little negative on talk that Mexico's starting to line up some South American corn to try to get that program going in case corn sales from the U.S. Slow. News out of China is the same. You know, looking at a situation where they're wanting to eliminate some of their large inventories of corn. Corn held in there fairly well. December corn closed up a half a cent, fractionally higher. Feels like this Dease corn from 380 to 376 ought to try to catch. There's some options and trading strategies you can put on at this level here. So, you know, if you're in the ballpark that I really will sell if corn goes back to $4 and feel comfortable about it and have some coverage on, now's the time to kind of look at that. Technically, you know, time counts are falling in place and through here where we ought to find some support. Momentum indicators are tied to the lower end of the range. So it kind of warrants maybe, you know, looking for corn to hold in through here until we see what the acreage estimates are here towards the end of the week here, Todd.
What do you think those acreage numbers will look like?
That's a great question because, man, talking to producers all winter long, you know, corn acres are going to be zero and bean acres are going to go through the roof. But I would imagine, you know, these are intentions, and intentions and what actually takes place are two different things. We believe on this report that corn acres would be at 90.9 million acres, bean acres 88.15. So we're kind of in the mix with everyone else on these estimates. You know, once those acres are plugged in, we'll start to see the weather guys tinker with the yield and the weather guy be in charge after that. But we'll see what the forecast brings. The best chance to get back in the field will be next week for about 36 hours, April 4th, April 5th. after that, it's going to be in the middle of the month, towards the 15th. So as we move more towards middle of April here, these weather guys will get a lot of publicity.
Have you been watching the weather guys for South America and that Safrina corn crop as well? And are conditions changing at all there? They've been good so far, though they're very early in their season still.
Yeah, there's time to go. About this time a year ago, we all discovered there was a drought going on, but thus far the reports are favorable. As we go into the next monthly supply demand report here next month, we continue to expect the southern hemisphere corn and bean yields both to remain somewhat strong, and that's probably what's been limiting some of the buying interest here short term is that these bigger crops keep getting bigger supposedly. So that's going to be something to keep in mind here. It's going to take some type of weather event here down the road to curb that idea.
Dry conditions out west in the United States, not enough to push the market along. Many producers have been talking to me about that over the last week or two, though Darrell Good normally would say the season's normal in the Midwest until it's no longer that way, and tiles are still running here.
Yeah, we're fortunate here in the eastern belt, but you move on west, it's been a little bit of a different situation. Particularly, you get southwestern Illinois into Missouri. We've seen some moisture materialize. There's forecast up to 1 to 2 inches of rain. They'll need to continue to receive that moisture. Then you go further west yet. They're extremely dry in the southern plain, so that moisture is going to be needed here as we move forward, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today. One other item, quarterly Hogs and Pigs report is due out Thursday of this week. Anything that we need to watch for sure on that one or that the livestock producers need to be aware of as we approach it?
Well, the main thing is that Brazilian beef issue, everybody banned Brazilian beef for about 3 days, and then all of a sudden over the weekend here, well, that Brazilian beef might be okay if we go ahead and make sure it's well done. That's kind of a slap in the face because our beef here in the U.S. was banned from China for quite some time because of the mad cow over 14 years ago, and we've been unable to open up that market there. But overall, meat demand remains huge. Export demand remains huge. We're going to continue to see more numbers as we go down the road. The hog and pig report is going to show a few more numbers, but the main thing is cookout featuring here as we see these temperatures continue to warm up.
All right. Thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. As usual for Monday, he's written a weekly Outlook article and posted it to the Farm Doc Daily website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. This week, corn prices moving forward. Thanks, Todd, for being here. What do you see in that marketplace?
As we move forward through 2017 on old crop and new crop corn prices, it comes down to can demand outstrip the large world supplies we're seeing in the corn markets. We had a really strong crop this last year in the United States, and reports out of South America have placed Brazilian corn crop at 3.6 billion bushels, with Argentinian crop about at 1.5 billion bushels. Now, a lot of that Brazilian crop, especially a lot of it's going to be exported, is second corn crop, which is still in the process of being planted and grown. So there's a lot to be said about that crop yet. The final word's not written. But it's basically that dynamic between global demand and global supply. Domestically, we've seen really good consumption of corn in the ethanol sector. Even last week, another 1 million barrels a day production from the ethanol industry. This is just continuing a process of a lot of corn being ground for ethanol production. The recent corn export inspection numbers were strong. We're well on our way to hitting the 2.225 billion bushels USDA projects for corn exports. And, I mean, if we keep up at this pace, which I think we will, at least into the summer until that Brazilian crop starts hitting the export market. I project some strong exports into that period of time, particularly if when we look at the free on board price in New Orleans is lower than what we're seeing in Brazil and Argentina currently. So we're very strong competitors in the export market for corn. I see that continuing for the foreseeable future. So we have these really good consumption numbers for corn domestically and in the export markets. The only thing that's a real sticking point is how much is being fed. And the USDA's lowered that feed and residual number by 100 million bushels since last September. And based on the amount of dry distillers grains that we're seeing being produced from corn ethanol production and the lowering of DDGS exports, there's a lot of distillers grains out there, not to mention wheat and sorghum and other corn substitute in the feed ration. So that might be a weak point in consumption. So there's this mixed thing going on. While we've seen livestock numbers be pretty good, there's not been a lot of growth per se in the last few months. We're waiting on the quarterly hogs and pigs report this week to see what, you know, the quarterly numbers were in that sector and what we think they'll be over the next quarter. But, you know, strong ethanol, strong exports, and I think maybe some weakness in the feed and residual consumption levels of corn. So it basically comes down to, can we eat through those ending stocks we're seeing in corn and compensate for the large crops we're seeing in corn around the world? And this is, you know, it's been a great year so far, it looks like, for corn. I mean, we've seen it in South Africa even, Brazil, Argentina, United States, everybody's growing huge crops. So can we run down those ending stocks on the old crop? And then it all turns back over on the new crop. How much corn are we going to plant in 2017? And that number being released on March 31st, the Prospective Planters Report, is going to be a big, it could be a big market mover this week. That's how I see it moving forward.
So what do you think that number will look like? The range is like 89 to 92.5. We also have the grain stocks report, which doubles back into the livestock. You've told us that the ethanol production, which is 5.4 billion bushels strong for the year, as long as we meet that, is really good. That the DDGs coming out of it may have an impact on the livestock number. The feed number there is 5.6 billion bushels. And I guess there's one other number that I saw in what you've written that I want you to go back and tell me a little bit about. It's the stocks to use ratio number, 21.2% on the global front. Is that a good number, a bad number? How do you evaluate it?
I mean, historically, it's up a little bit. It's actually lower than last year, which was 21.9. So there are a lot of world stocks out there for corn. And a lot of it is going to be dependent on how that Brazilian safrinha crop turns out this summer. So it's near the top. It's high, but it's not, I don't think it's punitive. It's not like it's a huge, huge stock, but it is overhanging the world market. On top of all of that, you know, yeah, we have the quarterly stocks report. I think March 1st stocks for corn might come in high, which is going to say we're going to have a big feed and small feed and residual use number, which may see that 5.6 billion bushels get peeled back when we get the next Wiser report. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened again. Right now in the world, I mean, we've had a lot going on. Even in China, even though they're not huge importers of corn, you know, they've had the bird flu issue. We've seen them talking about changing and releasing some of their corn stocks and maybe trying to export some of, even though from what I've read, it's not what I would consider on par with what we export out of the United States or even Brazil and Argentina. So there's all this dynamic going on in the world, and on top of all that, all the political ramifications of trade that we've stumbled into since the start of the year. So there's a lot going on, but fundamentally, you know, I feel like there's some potential for corn this year. I've been seeing the corn price around 365 come harvest. It could be above that. It really does depend on how much we do plant and how that second Brazilian crop turns out, in my mind. And if we can continue to produce or consume corn for ethanol and export like we have been. If we can, I think we can run down those old crop ending stocks to a number below what, you know, the current projections are. There's a lot of uncertainty right now, as always at this time of year. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding new crop and old crop prices. So I'm sort of hopeful for corn prices this year. I do feel like last week's, you know, price tumble is a bit of an aberration, and I think we might see it build back. But if we see the prospective planning report come at the high end of those acreage, it could be punitive to the price of corn in the short run. I've been saying about 90.5 for a couple of months now, which is about 3.5 million acres less than what was planted in 2016. I've been sticking with that number. I think it could come in above that, though, as I'm not sure as many people, farmers in the Corn Belt, are going to switch over to soybeans as a lot of people think. I'm interested to see, so look forward to that report on Friday.
We'll know at 11 o'clock Central Time. Thanks so much, Todd, for being here.
Thank you, Todd.
And, of course, Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Greg Johnson is here now. He's from the Andersons in Champaign County. Thanks, Greg, for being with us this afternoon. Kurt Kimmel told us it was quiet in his office today. How about there at the Andersons?
Very quiet today. Prices have really been sagging, so farmers just aren't interested in selling. And with a report just less than a week away now, I think most people are going to wait and see what Uncle Sam has to say on Friday.
Does the downturn in the soybean market make them more cognizant of what's happening in the marketplace, or are they just worried about both corn and soybeans?
I think they've done a very good job of selling old crop beans. I think we're 85, maybe even 90% sold on old crop beans. So, you know, yeah, that last little bit, people would like to get more for it, but it's not like it is with corn where they're, you know, 50 to 60% sold and they're still hanging on to almost half a crop. So the corn is the one that really has garnered a lot of attention. I mean, the bean price has gone down, but I think farmers feel fairly comfortable with what they've got sold old crop, and they're willing to wait, you know, ride it lower and then see how many acres we plant and see what kind of start we get off to planting wise and then see what the weather is this summer. So I don't feel the same sense of urgency in beans as I do in the corn.
Are you worried about them having so much corn on hand going into the planting season?
Yes. Yeah. Each of the last 2 years, we've had big stocks at this March 31 report, but fortunately, we've been bailed out by weather scares. Each of the last 2 years, we've had rallies into June and July 2 years ago, and we had a rally into June last year. So I'm hopeful that we can get that again, but with a big stocks number, and if we get a big acreage number, it really will take weather problems to get the market excited, and that may not happen until June like it did last year.
What do you tell in producers when they call in?
Well, I think at this point, I kind of agree with them on the corn. You know, if we're going to plant less corn acres and we're off to kind of a dry start, I don't want to sell down here. You know, let's wait and see what the acreage number is, see what the weather is, what kind of start we get off to, and the funds are short. So there's some potentially friendly things out there. We just need to get a spark, and we just haven't had the spark yet, but we typically don't get a spark in February or March. It's just not the right time of the year for a rally, but we're not too far away from when that right time is.
And your bids for the day?
Old crop corn is all the way down now to 339. New corn is 355. Old beans 949, new beans 941, and new wheat 415.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. Well, let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. John Davis joins us from RisPulse out of Chicago. Hey, John, thanks for being with us today.
Well, my pleasure here, Todd.
Let's start in the United States. I have made note from many of the weather forecasters we talked to that the west to east flow is bringing rainfall and has. What can you tell me about what conditions are like in the growing regions across the nation?
Well, Well, it's very active, and so this is the beginning of our major pattern change that started late last week, and this is not going to be a short-term event. It looks like we're going to have weeks of pretty wet conditions across the central U.S., along with very warm conditions, too. And it's pretty unusual at this time of year to have that combination of wet and warmth, usually at this time of year. When you're wet, you're on the cool side, but that's not the pattern that we're seeing right now. So temperatures above normal, rainfall above normal, and that is a very strong tendency, at least through the middle portion of April.
Well, that sounds like a long, wet start to the growing season. Will there be enough time in there for producers to begin planting, or will they have to wait until after mid-April?
Well, it's a situation where, for the time being, because we had been so dry and very warm, you know, last month and up until late last week, that for the next week or two, you know, this is a beneficial situation. It increases topsoil moisture. It raises soil temperatures to support germination of some of the summer crops. So it's highly beneficial for the next couple of weeks. Granted, by the time you get to the middle of April, you're going to need some breaks in the action. And with those breaks in the action, then that will allow planting to take place. But that's going to be a key time period coming up, is that middle to end of April, and getting enough dry days or open fieldwork delays to prevent any kind of significant planting and any kind of big delays in fieldwork operations.
We've had very dry conditions in the southwest, Great Plains through Missouri, and in the southeast. Will this be alleviated by the systems you're talking about?
Big time. The hard red belt and the plains, especially western Kansas and the panhandles, that was the driest area of any ag area in the world. And so the events that are happening right now that we expect, well, five more systems to move through after the last two, you're going to see a major turnaround in their situation, a huge increase in moisture conditions, and thus alleviation of stress and much better growth into the early portion of April.
And in the southeast?
Southeast looks like they too will be getting into some rainfall coming up as we begin to get active there later on this week and over the weekend. So, yeah, they're in need of rain as well, and they too will see somewhat of an improvement. Not the kind of amounts there that you're going to see in the Mississippi River Basin, but certainly the southeast needs rain, and they will be getting some over the next 10-day period.
John, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking so much time with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd. Anytime.
That, of course, John Davis. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois.